Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise, given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua, is for you and me today, for all who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about a living sacrifice. Yesterday, we introduced this topic of the principle of self-offering in the life of Jesus. He offered Himself an obedient sacrifice for the life of the world. He came into this world, leaving His ivory palaces behind for you and me, for our sake, for our salvation. And He asks us to follow Him, and He says, if you want to be My disciple, you must give up your right to yourself and take up your cross and follow Me. It stands to reason that if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we're going to have to walk the same pathway. We were talking about ways in which Jesus was like us, His humanity. Now, what about how He was unlike us? He did come into the world as a man. He ate and drank and slept and needed quiet and worked and went to weddings. He had limitations and weaknesses and vulnerability. He was criticized, attacked, misquoted, misunderstood, maligned. He was the object of vicious jealousy, hatred, and ultimately put into the hands of men and crucified, the Bible says, in weakness. How was He unlike us? Well, for a start, He was God. He was perfect, spotless, sinless, fearless, peaceful, serene, holy, undefiled, unpredictable. And we could go on and on. You could think of a lot of other ways in which Jesus was unlike us. Well, some of us are unpredictable, aren't we? But we're certainly not sinless and fearless and peaceful and serene and holy and undefiled, not all the time anyway. He also lived to the hilt. It was His Father's world, His nature. He had connections with the natural and the supernatural. They were all the same to Him, as to the psalmist. He was living in His Father's world. You know that hymn, "This is my Father's world, and to the listening ear all nature sings." You have to have ears to hear. And I'm sure that Jesus did not feel Himself a stranger in His Father's world. How did He see things? Always from the standpoint of the eternal, as His Father saw. What kind of work did He do? He did only what He saw the Father do, He said. What did He say? He said what the Father told Him to say. So you and I can start from the assumption that we don't do anything the way the world does if we're Christians. Let me say that again. As a Christian, we can assume that we don't do anything the way the world does. Now, there are plenty of exceptions to that, but I think it's a safer way to start than saying, well, we'll do everything that the world does with a few exceptions. Don't you think it's probably a safer way to put it the other way around? Let's just assume that because we're Christians, we're going to have to think differently, act differently, do everything differently. We have to stand on our heads. Christians are people whose lives make no sense except in terms of an invisible world. Jesus made some stunning statements. I mean, these statements must have really jerked people to their senses. He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me," or "My food is to do the will of Him that sent Me." He said, "Lose your life if you want to find it." He said, if you want to be first, be a slave. If you want to be first, be willing to be last. He said, be perfect. He said, love your enemies. He also said, depart from me. I never knew you. He called some people a brood of snakes, others swine. He said, don't cast your pearls before swine. He said, love your enemies. How am I going to know who the swine and the snakes and the enemies are? Well, by the power of discernment. It's not condemnation, it's the right kind of discrimination. But Jesus' tenderness, think of that. Think how tender he was with the little children that he took into his arms and told the disciples not to forbid them to come. Think of his tenderness when he raised Tabitha from the dead. Think of his tenderness with the woman taken in adultery. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go in peace. There were some statements made about him that describe the differences. Never man spake like this man. And they were startled because they said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this the one we know? We know his brothers and sisters. We know his mother and father. Who is this man? When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was oppressed and afflicted, he didn't open his mouth. A letter was given to me when my husband and I were visiting Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. It was anonymous. This is what it said. In your talks today, I was so encouraged in my effort to lose weight, and I know it will be a long road. Now, in my talk, I had not mentioned weight loss, so far as I know. I had just talked about the principle of giving oneself completely to the Lord. And this letter writer says, I have 125 pounds to lose. That's a pretty big chunk, isn't it? But I pray that the Lord will help me to offer this to him one day, 1 hour at a time. Please pray for me and my husband in this area. Thank you. So let's just stop right now and pray. Lord, I do want to pray for all who are struggling with the need to lose weight. You know the struggle they go through, Lord. You know all the reasons why they eat too much. You know all the reasons why there's too much weight there. Whether they are physiological or psychological, you understand. And so, Lord, I lift them up to you today, that you will give them grace, give them strength, give them the will to do your will, and to present their bodies to you as a living sacrifice. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said in Romans 12, verse 1, that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. If we're going to do this, what do we do with this body? Do we exercise properly, eat properly, sleep properly? Do we take in substances that we know are harmful? If I sing, I surrender all. If I tell God I want to present my body as a living sacrifice, I must also present my will. Now, I want to give you four principles of self-offering or sacrifice. The first is offering. The second is acceptance. The third, glory. And the fourth, sharing. And let's talk about those. The first one, offering. And remember that you and I have nothing to offer that we haven't already received. We're giving back to God what God has already given to us. In John 10, 17 and 18, Jesus said, I lay down my life to receive it back again. No one has robbed me of it. I am laying it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to receive it back again. This charge I have received from my Father. And you know, God has given to you and me the right to lay down our lives, the right to give up our rights, and the right to keep them if that's what we want to do. He gave us a free choice. Do you want to be a living sacrifice? In Isaiah 53, we read that Jesus poured out his soul unto death. That is the first aspect of the principle of sacrifice. The second is acceptance. Jesus did always those things that pleased the Father. Hebrews 10, 12, and 13 says, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. He was accepting of the will of the Father. And we can hardly offer our bodies back to God until we have accepted the body that God has given us. If we're angry about being male or female, we can decide not to be angry about it and just thank God for that gift. If we wished we were taller, start thanking God for the short body that he gave us. If we wanted to be a different color, remember that we have to accept the terms in which God has placed us here on this earth. I can't make an offering to God until I have received it myself to begin with. That's what I mean by acceptance. God had prepared a body for his son Jesus, and Jesus offered it back as a single sacrifice for you and me.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.